Hello and welcome to Dealcast, the weekly M&A podcast presented to you by Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. I'm a business journalist and I've been covering M&A for a decade. In this episode, we're going nuclear and talking about the resurgence of nuclear power in Europe, plus the M&A opportunities it presents. I'm joined by Georgina Barnard, who's the industrials reporter for Merger Market and Europe, and Oreski Yaish, who is the France bureau chief. Hi, Georgina. Hi, Oreski. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Juliana.
Hello.
So let's start by looking at the landscape for nuclear power in Europe. So 13 years ago, 2011, there was the Fukushima nuclear accident in Japan, and nuclear power became really unloved. Germany voted to phase out nuclear power, but there's been a big resurgence. Can you talk about what's prompted that change?
It's true that the Fukushima catastrophe was an eye opener for Germany to speed up its phasing out of the nuclear energy, but what we've noticed recently as part of the move towards net zero emission in 2050, the European Union needs to invest in renewable energy sources, but it's to reach this objective. It's clear that now in everybody's mind, nuclear energy can contribute a lot. I mean, what it was very interesting, I'd say, is the shock of the Ukraine, the war in Ukraine, where Europe was exposed to its heavy dependence towards Russian gas, and a country like France, which has an energy mix dependent on nuclear energy since the 70s and the oil crisis in 73-74, managed to have a less dire inflation during the first year of the war. So it was also an eye-opener. And now it seems that there are also international institutions like the United Nations, which encourage now. I mean, last year in December, during the COP or COP28 summit about climate change, there were 22 countries which signed an agreement to boost investment in the nuclear space, to triple investment in the nuclear space, to be precise. And last month, we had a big summit with the International Energy Agency, where 30 heads of state were possible. Participating, sorry, that was a watershed, because the head of the International Energy Agency, Fatih Birol, said, and I quote, that without the support of nuclear power, we have no chance to reach out to reach our climate targets on time, and so there is now a race to boost investment in the space, but also I think experts are not overlooking the risk which nuclear energy pose as well in terms of radioactive waste and safety waste.
As you say, that there's a huge risk with it. It's a notoriously tricky sector to navigate, and therefore it's understandably heavily regulated. It's also seen as a strategic industry. There's a huge lead-in time, a massive capex, partly because of those things. And we've seen the leading country in Europe for nuclear power, France, its main producer, EDF, was nationalised. So how can external investors access M&A opportunities given all of those complications?
We've all seen that EDF, the French energy provider, which was nationalised about a year ago, is going through massive debt. There were a lot of delays in the delivery of nuclear plants, especially Hinkley Point in the UK and another one in Finland. So the state decided to nationalize, as there were many infra work. They needed to revamp some old nuclear plants. Some of among those nuclear plants, some were saw the life cycle or extended. the war between Russia and Ukraine has drained European economies, and France doubled down on getting nuclear plants up to shape. And the French President Emmanuel Macron announced during his re-election in 2022, a few months after the war in Ukraine started, that it was keen to invest in 6 new nuclear plants. So EDF can't invest in any nuclear energy project. And I think that the risk implied by nuclear waste and safety, you don't want to have like planes bombing a nuclear plant, makes the states limited in terms of the money it can pour in some projects. So external investors are very, welcome to invest in new type of nuclear plants, which could, for instance, recycle nuclear waste, or which could be smaller, safer. This is where external investor can engage in a project with also states or the European Union. We saw that in the electric battery sector, where, for instance, in the north of France and in some part of Germany, we had a project involving several European countries and stakeholders. When I say stakeholders, I talk about corporates engaged in the electric battery, which are like car manufacturer. So they want to apply the same model for nuclear energy. I think the massive need for innovation, to deal with safety risk and nuclear waste, are key, and external investor would be very helpful there.
So coming to you, Georgina, can we talk about small modular reactors or SMRs? Can you speak about where they fit into the picture and how they present perhaps an easier route in for investors?
Yeah, sure. So small modular reactors, or SMRs as they are known, they're really kind of, I think, being heralded as kind of the future of nuclear energy production. They're fairly recent tech. They present solutions to a lot of the main problems with nuclear that we are nuclear power we've touched on. So in terms of sort of safety aspects, huge capex costs, and sort of lengthy lead times in production. So they're basically a much smaller, more cost-effective alternative to the kind of large-scale nuclear reactors, which can take up to anything up to sort of 20 years to build. They're quite intrusive in terms of environmental impact. And because SMRs, the key is in the name, so they're modular, which means they can be constructed off-site, also connected to the grid more easily. So they've got really great economies of scale. They also generate a lot less toxic waste than conventional reactors. So that's a lot more kind of palatable, I think, to the general public, as opposed to these large, huge gigawatt conventional nuclear plants. They're really drawing, I think, quite a broad range of investors, and mainly because, as I said, the lead times are so much quicker. So they offer kind of a quicker rate of return on investment. So we're seeing people like investors coming on board from data centers to AI developers to even oil and gas majors, basically people who are looking to reduce their carbon footprint fast.
And can you talk about any recent deals or investments in nuclear in Europe, please? I mean, there obviously aren't many, because it's such a difficult sector to negotiate or navigate.
Absolutely. And obviously, you know, there is a fairly big divide between, obviously, as I've spoken about, the traditional nuclear power plants, like we talked about Hinkley Point and Sizewell C in the UK, for example, and this more nascent tech, developing tech, things like nuclear fusion and SMR developers. So obviously, there's not a huge amount of M&A or consolidation in the earlier stage tech projects. In terms of M&A, we have seen some in France, which is, as we we've said it's really the leading European country in the race. For example, in October last year, we had Groupe ADF, which is a private equity backed French industrials conglomerate. They actually acquired Engie's nuclear maintenance business. And I think that kind of reflects major industry players' appetite for the sector. In the UK, we've got the Sizewell C project, which is drawing a kind of major national energy and utility players like Centrica, for example. And I think in terms of the new tech, there is probably some space for consolidation in the future. It's a fragmented market. Obviously, it's pretty nascent, but there are a host of European nuclear startups. So as I said, people like people developing sort of laser-based fusion technology, SMR developers, things like floating reactors, which are, obviously based in the sea. There's really interesting stuff happening. You've got guys like Focused Energy, which is a German, Germany and US-based player. They've got really ambitious growth plans, planning to potentially IPO in the future. You have Tokamak, which is a UK-based peer, and they're tapping the market and raising really significant funding. The last point I wanted to make was that we're also seeing a lot of strategic partnerships between your major global utility players with these early stage nuclear tech providers. So a great example is Nucleo, which is an Italian, Italy-based nuclear waste to fuel developer. And they're a great example. I think they've raised around 400 million euros in funding. And they entered, they entered into a partnership with Italian state-backed utility Enel to develop their pipeline. So we're seeing a lot of those large utility players really embracing the tech.
I'd like to look ahead to the future more broadly in a moment, but can we talk now specifically about the UK with the Chancellor Jeremy Hunt's recent commitment to boosting investment in nuclear, please?
Sure. So I think the UK is in a really prime position at the moment. I think it's got a really great toolkit at its disposal. As you mentioned, the Chancellor Jeremy Hunt confirmed in last month's spring budget, government plans for nuclear to provide up to a quarter of the UK's electricity mix by 2050. And I think it's around 14% at the moment. So that's a really positive move. Hopefully it materialises. We've also got investment tools like the RAB, which is interesting. It's the regulated asset-based model, which hopefully will boost investment in projects. So that's a funding model that's normally used for large-scale traditional infra projects. So things like water, gas, all the main utilities. So it guarantees a return on investment for the whole for the lifetime of an asset, basically. So hopefully this should, if we begin to use this RAB more for nuclear projects, is really going to accelerate sort of scale up development of these projects. And it will hopefully draw a broader range of investors on board. So people like your more traditional infrastructure investors. At the moment, we're seeing it's, as I mentioned, mainly the utility and the energy majors. So I think these are things that the UK can really take advantage of to draw a wider pool of investors and to really, grow the sector.
Yeah, and I guess its commitment to net zero is really kind of expediting that commitment to nuclear, because it can't achieve that without nuclear in the mix.
Yeah, I think people talk about, the baseload power. So that's really important to have in the energy mix in terms of, you have traditional, more documented and longer standing renewable power sources like wind and like solar, which obviously are going to be very important in the energy transition. But we also need a sort of consistent energy source. And obviously, nuclear can provide that. So it's not dependent on wind or the sun. I think it's going to play a really important part in the energy mix. Obviously, there are regulatory and financial hurdles. There are really positive signs.
So can we look to the future? The sector requires huge capex and it has such long lead-in times. What does the future hold for nuclear in Europe?
I think the nuclear space is becoming some somehow a dual industry. What do I mean by that? So the grid, I mean, energy for household. I mean, France is heavily dependent on nuclear energy. 75% of its energy mix is still based on nuclear energy generation. So we'll see that for household, like for the big grid, we'll still have some large scale nuclear plants, which have decades long life cycle, which would need to be renovated. I mean, delays observed in the UK and Finland should be settled in a way. But on the other hand, we'll have some, as described by Georgina, with the new innovation with SMRs, we'll have spread out smaller, safer nuclear plants for responding to the needs of certain industry. So, for instance, with AI, data centers, and electric batteries, we have an increasing need of energy. And this is seen as the best way for the moment to meet the targets of the net zero emission for 2050. But I think that you'll see more private investor in that part of the industry. So smaller reactor, but there is also a risk. We see a race towards innovation, but some investors crumble to invest in some project. The first deployment of SMRs in France, for instance, will start in 2030, so in 5 years. And we already see some big individual investors like Bill Gates or Sam Altman, the creator, owner of OpenAI, investing in a space. Bill Gates owns TerraPower, and Sam Altman has his own nuclear startup called Oklo. So there are fears that the sector is going out of control with everybody investing in its small plant, a nuclear plant. But we have to remember as well that we have a huge regulation globally with the Nuclear International Agency and also national regulators. So I think, this is very exciting but scary at the same time.
Great. Oreski, Georgina, thanks very much. That was Georgina Barnard and Oreski Yaish. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow it. And if you listen through Apple, please rate and review the show. If you want to find out more about what we've been discussing, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.